One of my favorite pop songs is by John Mayer, and it has this repeated line, "Love ain't a thing, love is a verb." Of course, the word love can be used as a noun, but I think the point Mayer is making is that the essence of love is demonstrated through action, through the verb sense of the word love. In the same way, I like to say, farm ain't a thing, farm is a verb.
This is Pop Agriculture, the podcast that blends pop culture with agriculture to tell the stories of the plants, processes, and people who have shaped modern crop production. A true farm-to-table connection that puts food into perspective with your passionate plant scientist host, Steve Savage.
If you're looking at farm as a noun, there are huge differences between the various kinds of operations around the world that we call farms. Farming is an incredibly diverse activity. In terms of scale, a farm could be as small as a hectare. That's about the size of a standard sports field, you know, the kind with a quarter-mile track around it. Alternatively, a single farm could be spread across, say, 5,000 acres, in which case it's about a third the size of Manhattan Island. And there are farms that are much larger than that. In terms of income, many farms gross only a few hundred dollars per acre for their crop, while others have harvests that are worth $10,000, $20,000, or even $80,000 an acre. Some farms involve several different crops, some have only one. Some are highly mechanized, and others rely on a great deal of human labor. So we see that the noun, a farm, can mean many different things. But over the last 40 years, I've had the opportunity to see a wide variety of farms, and even though they differ dramatically from one another, I've always found some common threads, things that are common in spite of the differences between them. I believe that the unifying essence of what it means to farm is captured in the verb sense of the word, and it's best described by several other verbs. So the first two verbs I want to talk about are innovate and manage. Farms are operated in some very different physical environments based on their geography and the climate. The conditions might be hot or cool, the growing season might be long or short, the farms are in places with abundant rainfall, even excessive rainfall, and there are farms in places that are essentially deserts. There are farms that enjoy deep, rich soils and farms that have to deal with poor, thin ones. In all these circumstances, the common thread is captured in two verbs. Farmers innovate ways to manage to make the best of the growing environment in which they find themselves. The farmer might be able to do a lot or only a little to improve his or her growing environment, but in any case, they try to manage their particular challenges. It's kind of like the old Rolling Stones songs that says, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you get what you need. A farmer who works with a site that tends to get too much rain in the spring might install drainage tile in the field to carry away the excess water and thus manage that risk. A farmer in a dry region will typically install an irrigation system and manage the need for water that way. A grower in a region with a short growing season can use something like a hoop house covered in plastic to extend the growing season. A farmer in a very windy location might plant trees to create a windbreak to spare the crop the damage that can come from high winds. There's a famous region that I recently got to visit in southern China, where an ancient farming community ended up being driven into the mountains a long time ago. Well, they were rice farmers, and the way they knew how to grow rice was in flooded paddies, something that you typically do on a flat terrain. And here they were in the mountains. So what they ended up doing is building an elaborate system of terraces so that there are level strips of land that they can flood. And some of those terraces are only wide enough for two or three rows of rice, but they made it work. These efforts to manage the physical and environmental landscape usually can't provide a perfect growing environment because almost no farmers get that. But farmers tend to innovate to manage their physical growing setting, at least to a limited degree, and that can make their farming effort viable. Now, in addition to needing to manage the physical environment, farmers of all kinds also need to manage the biological challenges, mostly things we call pests. Crops are almost always beset with insects, mites, or nematodes that want to feed on the crop, or fungi, viruses, and bacteria that can infect them, or weeds that compete with them for nutrients, light, and water. Yeah, there are also mammals that often want to eat the crop. Now, while a specific pest might vary by crop, geography, and even by season, farmers of all types must manage them in order to have a productive farm. And progressive farmers employ what's called integrated pest management, which means a combination of approaches, and a whole bunch of different approaches together makes a more robust management program. There's another verb that helps to describe any kind of farm. I think Rihanna said it best, work, work, work. Whether the farm is large or small, regardless of the crop, work is a big part of what it means to farm. Now, that work might be done by hand or using machinery. There might only be a few people involved or a great many. The work might be done by an owner or employees or contractors. The workers might be full-time or they might only be on a farm for a certain part of the season. But in any case, to farm means doing a great deal of work. There's another group of verb that characterizes what it takes to be successful at farming for the long term, something that can also be called sustainability. These would be verbs like steward, or tend, or protect. Particularly if the farm is owned by a family, something that's still the dominant system in the U.S., farmers have a lot of incentive to steward that land in a way that'll allow it to be passed down to the next generation and beyond. Today, a great deal of farmland in the developed world is rented. Often that's from now city-dwelling families who used to farm it in the past. Even so, to maintain a viable business, farmers still must steward that rented land to keep their business going. Any kind of farming that does not involve the words care and steward isn't going to be able to continue for very long. Now, the verb decide definitely speaks to the heart of farming of all types. There can be scores of important decisions that have to be made on a farm each season. Many of those involve how farmers choose to manage the physical and biological environment or how they meet the need for work. And there are decisions that have to be made about how to steward the land. Up front, there are big decisions made about even what crop to grow at all. Now, some of the decisions are long-term and set patterns that extend across years, while others are made on a week-to-week basis or even on a day-to-day basis. What farmers decide to do can be based on tradition, local custom, past experience, expert advice. And in the modern era, increasingly decisions are being influenced by elaborate analysis of what we call big data input. Now, the success or failure of the crop often depends on those important decisions that have to be made. And this leads us to one more universal verb that embodies what it means to farm, and that's risk. There's a sort of continuing from gardening to hobby farming to part-time farming to full-time farming. And what distinguishes these different levels isn't just scale or expertise. A lot of it has to do with the level of financial commitment, whether a person is going to risk little or much on a financial level. A true farmer risks a great deal. In a way, the verb gamble also fits. You might say that farmers really need to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Some of the risk starts early each season. Usually farmers buy their seed and their fertilizer up front. If they rent the land, that expense is also front-loaded. During the season, the farmer may have to buy crop protection agents and fuel and labor and pay for expert services of various kinds. Now, often the harvest of the crop is one of the single biggest expenses. Unlike everything else I've been listing, it has to be paid for before any money comes in. The farmer usually has to make these financial commitments without any way to fully predict the weather, the pest pressure, or even the price their crop will get when they market it at the end of the season. With this extraordinary degree of economic risk, farmers need fair sources of loans and ideally some kind of crop insurance. Fortunately, both farm credit and crop insurance is typically available for farmers in the developed world. Unfortunately, those resources are not always available to farmers in the developing world, and it's something they could really benefit from. When it's finally time to harvest and sell the crop, farmers tend to have little to no market leverage. Economists describe them as pure price takers. And a farmer's neighbors may be their friends, but they're effectively also their competitors. And if a lot of farmers have a bumper crop, the price they all get can drop dramatically. For highly traded commodities, the price a farmer gets on one continent is heavily influenced by how that crop turns out in other regions around the globe. Now, sometimes a grower can get a set price contract ahead of the season. But that still doesn't remove many of the risk factors for how well the crop will do or whether it can meet all the quality standards that might be built into the contract. It can turn out that the farmer would have made more on the open market than through the contract, but contracting still is one way to reduce risk. So to farm means to risk all sorts of unknowns, some of which can be managed if the farmer can decide appropriately along the way. There's also risk that is completely out of the farmer's control. So experience, expert advice, reasonable lending, and crop insurance all help to ameliorate the risk aspect of farming, but never completely. When I hear people throwing around terms like corporate farming, I almost laugh, because typical corporations would never entertain the degree of risk that farmers regularly embrace, particularly not for the relatively modest upside if things go well. I think we're all lucky that there are still people out there who will risk and decide and manage and steward and work to bring us the food, fuel, and fiber crops we need. What is interesting, though, is that virtually every time I've had the chance to sit down and talk with somebody who really farms, I've gotten the distinct impression that they love what they do. This has been true whether it's a very small farm or a huge one, and it's true whether the farmer was the owner or whether it was somebody who was a manager of an operation owned by others. Yes, of course, there are issues, challenges, and frustrations that accompany what farmers do, but they seem to sincerely take pleasure in the doing. And that satisfaction convinces me even more that farm ain't a thing, farm is a verb. You can follow me on Twitter at GrapeDoc, at GrapeDoc, and visit my blog at www.popagriculture.com.